Greetings in Christ's precious name this morning. It's a pleasure to be gathered here in the house of God to look into His Word again and to be challenged and built up together. I was tremendously challenged already this morning as we looked at that Sunday school lesson and those verses in Corinthians. That chapter specifically in Corinthians is one of the favorites of mine. Some of those verses in there are so powerful. The glorious gospel. There's something so glorious about the power of Jesus Christ and about the gospel that He gives us. There's something so alive about it. And that's not my message this morning. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We have Paul writing a letter to the Thessalonians here and encouraging them in their church life. And I'd like to read it and look at it this morning and draw lessons on what church life should look like today. And so in some respects, we have here somewhat of a model of what God is looking for in church life. And we would like to look at that this morning. I'm going to read the chapter, or the first, actually the whole chapter this time, it's 10 verses. Verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Knowing, brethren, beloved, ye are your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye have what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye are in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. I came across this saying as I was studying. It said, the universal church of God is losing its sheen in society because the church is everything but spirituality. Surveys say that only 10% of churches are genuine, churches that teach the word and make disciples of Christ. Other churches focus on entertainment concepts. For them, the church is more about programs, events, fundings, growth, etc., which usually ends up in political mismanagement and favoritism. It is not ironic that many today have been hurt by churches than healed by churches. Therefore, many Christians see themselves as part of the universal church of Christ, but do not participate in a local body. As we look at the churches around us, as we look at our church, you know, so much of today is focused on what feels good. What is the fanfare, the entertainment, the whole show. It is focused on, and you know, we might not face that too much in our circles, but what about the thought of looking right? You know, it's not very hard in our circles, if you look right, to be left alone. If you dress right, you wear a suit coat, you look okay. And as long as you do what you're supposed to do, then it's okay, and you're left alone. Is that how it is? The church here in Thessalonica come from, they were, before they were converted, back in Acts chapter 17, we have Paul preaching the gospel to them in one of his journeys. It was after, right after his imprisonment, when the doors were opened in the prison and he did not escape, and the jailer came to him and said, "What must I do to be saved?" Okay, it was right after that that Paul entered into the house of Lydia and then departed from there and went into Thessalonica preaching the word, and that's when this church has started. That's when this church has found Jesus Christ and was started. Church is more than entertainment. Church is more than something to do. It's more than wearing the right clothes. It's more than just doing the right thing. It's a group of people that are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ, that have a personal experience with Jesus Christ, and that live their lives out in accordance to his teaching. Paul was writing to them here to encourage them in Thessalonica. There was steeped in idolatry. That's where these people have come from. They have it gives note to that in here. And I can't lay my eyes on it, but they were steeped in idolatry, and they were coming out of that. They were freeing themselves of that and getting away from that. The goal of the church is more than just, needs to be greater than just a personal experience. The goal of the church needs to be to win souls for Christ. Our personal goals need to be to win souls for Christ. But in order to do that, we need to have the right doctrine. We need to have the teachings of Christ in my life, in your life, if we plan to win souls for Christ. And I like to look at that, the qualities that we see here in the Church of Thessalonica. And one of those is, right here in verse 1, it says, "Unto the church of Thessalonica, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ." They were in union with Christ. They were in communion with Christ. They had Christ as a part of their church, a part of their personal lives as a group of believers. They were on fire for God. They had a vision and a purpose. I believe that the believers were rooted together in Christ. There was a bonding point. It talks about that later. In verse 3, it says, it gives the work of faith and the labor of love and the patience of hope. And we'll look at those later. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God. It was in God that they were able to have these things. And also down, it later talks about that as well, where it talks about, "And you became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, but with joy of the Holy Ghost." They had the joy of the Holy Ghost in their lives. In union, if we want to be in union with Christ, in Christ, we need to have what verse 3 talks about, is the work of faith. It is important that we have faith in our Christian experience. Some say that, take Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, "For by grace ye have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, and not of works, lest anyone should boast." And they say, you know, we can't have, you know, all you need is faith. And there's a huge movement out there that says, you know, it doesn't matter what I do, as long as I have faith, as long as I believe. But they fail to take verse 10 of, let's just turn there, Ephesians 2, back a few books. Ephesians 2, verse 10, it says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Good works needs to be part of our work of faith. And I believe we see that in the Thessalonica believers. I believe Paul, he said, well, he goes on to talk about that later. He says, "So that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." It was, in other words, their faith was something that was talked about. It was something that was shared. It was something that people recognized. And I thought about that in relation to my life in Susquehanna Valley here. You know, what do the people around us say about we as a group of people? Is it a talk of our faith in Jesus Christ? Is it a talk of our connection with God? Or is it more about the rules and the, you know, whatever, or anything but that? What do people think? What do people see when they look at our lives? Do they see a work of faith? Do they see a connection with God, a union with God? Do they see a true repentant spirit in my life? You know, the church is made up of individuals. Do I connect that when I am spiritually weak, do not think that I affect other people by my spiritual weakness? When I am weak in my life, when I struggle, when I fail in my life, do I not affect those who I labor with in the kingdom of God? What are people? Titus 2, verse 11 and 12 says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation hath appeared to all men." So what is our work of faith after salvation? Different version. What does salvation do for me? What is it doing for me? Labor of love. We talk about the work of faith, their work of faith. What about our labor of love? What does the labor of love mean here? When we think about love, we right away think about true love. We think about God's love. We think about the work of the cross. We think about the plan of salvation. And the work of love on the cross, the labor of love on the cross of Jesus Christ, dying for the sins of all men. And we think about labor of love. True love gives without expectations. When I have love in my heart for my brothers and sisters, for my neighbors, are we known in our lives to be the one that is the hardest to work with? Or am I known for the one who is laboring in love? Am I known for the one who is willing to extend love even when maybe it's against myself? Willing to give love even when, you know, true love comes when when you know you not only don't get anything in return, but sometimes it hurts. True love doesn't always feel nice. We think of love as something that's nice. It always feels nice. It's always great. But true love doesn't always feel nice. True love doesn't always work out the way we think it should work out. Labor of love. And I think we see that again when in the thought of being examples and people talking. You know, Paul gives it totally in the sense that they were amazed by these people. They were entranced by what these people had in their lives, as a part of their lives. They were, it looked appealing. What the Thessalonians had looked appealing to the people they met. What about our church here? Does what we have in the kingdom of God look appealing to those who step through our doors? Does what we have in our personal lives at home look appealing to our neighbors? Think about that. We can't expect, if it doesn't look appealing, we can't expect to grow together in Christ. Labor of love. You know, with that thought, when you think of labor, I think of doing something. Love is an action word. Labor of love. It's something we do. It's something, it's not something, it's your life. It's the way you live. It's what you do that creates this power of love in your life. I believe that people that met the believers at Thessalonica were challenged. They instantly knew their love. They instantly felt their love. They instantly knew their faith. And then we also have this and patient of hope. Patient of hope. What do you think of when you think of patience? You ever feel impatient? I think we've all had times when we feel impatient, maybe with something or somebody. We feel we want it. We live in a now society. We want it now. When we cannot wait till tomorrow, we cannot wait. Patient in hope. It says in verse 6, it says, "And ye became followers of us, of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy of the Holy Ghost." In much affliction. You know, I believe they faced much affliction. And I don't believe this was something that was, you know, just a grand and glorious church life without heartache and hurt and pain, and this wasn't something that didn't just happen. It was an endurance. It was something that took patience. It was something that, but he says here, he says patience of hope. You know, you can just endure something, and endurance is great in itself. But it says they were patience of hope. They had something that they looked greater. You know, if I just endure for the time, I can just endure with this person, endure whatever it might be. Maybe it's a trial or a struggle or a person. You're just enduring something, okay? But I can look beyond and I can have a vision that's greater than my just the simple act of endurance. They were enduring affliction, and yet they had a patience of hope. They were looking beyond, and they had a vision of where and what they wanted in life. And that was the hope in Jesus Christ, in sight of God. They were looking forward to a greater time. They were looking forward to the kingdom of God, to heaven. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The believers here had a vision of that. And they were running a race that was beyond themselves, that was greater than themselves. They had a vision beyond the mere presence to a greater height. James 5 verse 11, let's just turn over there to James 5, verse 11, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. It says, we count them happy which endure, which hold on to, which hope in. Am I hoping in? 1 Corinthians 13 says this, it says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, without love in my heart, without patience, and back to the whole thought of being in Christ, in union with God. It says, verse 9, it says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. They were looking, again, it gives the idea of looking out. They had a vision in their hearts, in their minds. Do I have a work of faith? Does my faith and works build each other in my life? And do I have a labor of love? You know, we can be I believe the church here had great enthusiasm. And sometimes I think we as a church can be too dull. I say that. We can be too, okay, we have a charismatic movement that get all wound up. And I think sometimes we hang on the bottom end of the spectrum where we don't get excited at all. And, you know, it's not hard to tell when someone's excited about the kingdom of God and about his work in their life. And it was just a challenge to me that when people meet me personally, what do they think about me? What is their evaluation? Am I someone that they connect with the kingdom of God, or is it they're not sure where I'm at? It's easy in America. I just got done listening to a book on a China Christian and the persecution that goes on there, written not all that long ago. And I was just, you know, it's easy to become soft because we don't face what a lot of other people face. And we don't even really even know about it that much. We don't even really hear about it that much. But you know, am I using the opportunities of today to share for God what He wants me to share? And to be a part of His church and to be on fire for Him? Am I making a contribution? You know, being on fire for God is more than just talk. It's action. It's doing things. Being a part of my church is more than just talk. It's doing things. Being a part of a group. Being a part of encouraging each other. Paul was doing that. He was going around to these churches and he was encouraging them in the Lord. He was trying to help them in their journey and encourage them. He says in verse 5, he says, It came not unto you in word only, but in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. Is the word of God coming unto me in more than just word? But is it coming in its power and in the Holy Ghost? Am I accepting it into my life?